John Locke, 1632 through 1704, adding necessary requirements to the contract, natural rights. Hobbes' view reflects his dark time in English history. Similarly, Englishman John Locke, a generation or two later, would reflect the more optimistic time of the Glorious Revolution. Why was the revolution glorious? The people of England booted out their unpopular king, James II, and invited William of Orange and his wife Mary to be co-rulers of England in 1689. Soon afterwards, William and Mary signed the English Bill of Rights in 1690, guaranteeing certain rights for all citizens. Locke's view embraces this idea of switching rulers and writing new contracts to ensure that citizens receive better treatment. Locke states that there are some rights which are naturally a part of being a human being. Any ruler cannot take away any of these rights for a large number of citizens without risking a revolution from his or her people. These rights are called natural rights. NATURAL RIGHTS. For Locke, there are just three main natural rights. Number one, the right to life. Number two, the right to liberty, and number three, the right to property. However, if any of these are unjustly violated by a ruler, then the people also have a fourth right. Number four, the right to rebel against their ruler and form a new contract with a ruler who respects the natural rights. Now, this is just what happened during the Glorious Revolution. By stating that these rights were natural to the human race, Locke gave citizens guidelines to form and improve societies. Thomas Jefferson notoriously plagiarized Locke in the preamble to the Declaration of Independence, though he did switch out right number three to the more unclear right to the pursuit of happiness. However, just as Hobbes had done, Locke leaves this version of the social contract open to interpretation. How does one define liberty in right number two? Surely it cannot be liberty to do whatever you want, or else we're back to the animal society that Hobbes warned us to avoid.